Take your Bible now. We're going to get in the Word tonight. We're going to get in the Bible. And you need to do, you need this. Sometimes we'll just take one verse and preach for a while on it. Sometimes we preach and shout a while. Then there's other times you need to get in, dig in the Bible. So we're going to get in the Bible tonight. And I said preaching the other night that I want our church to be known as a church where people know the Bible. And so if you keep coming, you'll get it. Keep coming, you'll get it. We don't dodge any issue or any verse in the Bible. Some of the Bible's not easy for public reading, but it's still the Word of God. And it's, I hadn't looked at this, but one of the ladies back there just handed me this just a minute ago. And this is a paper or three that they're giving out at her work to show you how our government's thinking about Islamophobia and basically trying to change our minds of people who think bad of Islam. That's basically what this is. And that's coming down from the higher ups. You don't ever try to do anything for Christians or bibliophobia. They have a strong bibliophobia on the news. They're scared to death of that book right there. Amen. But this says, let's be clear, quote, Islam is not our adversary. Muslims are peaceful and tolerant people and have nothing whatsoever to do with terrorism. You know who said that? Hillary Clinton. It's not wrong here. Muslims are peaceful and tolerant people and have nothing to do whatsoever with terrorism. Every terrorist that we've heard anything about was a Muslim. Now, if she said many Muslims are peaceful and people, that may be true. Of course there's many. There's crazy Christians. There's crazy people who claim to be Christians. There's crazy people who claim to be preachers. I don't lump all Muslims in the same. I don't say all Muslims are terrorists at all. But the quote is, Islam is not our adversary. Muslims are peaceful and tolerant people and have nothing whatsoever to do with terrorism. I hadn't even read all this. It says, Islamophobia result, I think it's the lowest common denominator of fear-mongering to change the front page to Muslim killers. This is something that had on the New York Post. Another article down here says it's ridiculous to expect Muslims to answer for acts of violence committed by holy, unrelated people solely on the basis of belief in the same God. And that's true. I mean, there are a lot of murders committed in the name of God, our Jehovah God. The Catholic Church, called Christians by the news media, was responsible for all those thousands and thousands of deaths in the Dark Ages before the Reformation. And when the news media says Christians, that's normally who they're talking about, Catholics, and worldwide. So it's a big mess, big mess. When we ask moderate Muslims to solve the problem of jihadists, it is incumbent upon us to determine whether such a community exists. Obviously, there are many moderates. However, our definition of moderate is not the same as the definition of moderate according to most Muslims. In our definition, moderates must not only abhor jihad, that's a holy war against everybody else, all right, but embrace democracy and enlightenment, reject demonizing of non-Muslims, gays, apostates, and blasphemers, and embrace religious pluralism, including non-believers. Lord have mercy. What's that got to do? Where do you work at, sister? Tonopah Valley what? What's that got to do with your work? Is this going to help you do your job better? So you're supposed to fill this out? Oh, I'm supposed to love everybody and not disagree with anybody. But it's all right if you hate us and you disagree with us, but we can't disagree with you. Yeah. Get the kids. That's what the devil's after. All right, let's go to Genesis 16. Now, everybody started reading your Bible again, right? Son, old Jeremy's done, Lordy mercy. He's, Lord help, he's in. Where are you now, brother? 1 Samuel. and it's January 7th or whatever this is. Man, you ought to be ready to blow up. Is he acting any better, Michelle? He's wonderful. Did you hear that? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Genesis 16. Let's read this chapter, and then we're going to go back and talk about it. Let's read this chapter. Remember, the book of Genesis means beginning. Genesis, the genes. That's the beginning of everything. Sets things in motion, and it determines the path or a course of everything. The law of first mention, ever how something starts out in Genesis, it usually goes that way throughout history. Isn't that weird? That's God. That's God and His Word. So tonight, let's look here in Genesis 16. We'll find out how we got Muslims and Jews together fighting in Palestine and Israel and Jerusalem today. Verse 1. Now Sarai, that was her name before it was changed, Abram's wife, that was his name before it's changed. Somebody asked one time, said, why did God change Abram? You noticed that when you read it. Like, right? Everybody noticing that? So your head's nodding to Abraham. I've heard a bunch of different definitions, but Mays Jackson had the best one. He said his name was Abraham, and he said he started tithing, and God tacked the ham on. I don't know. That's funny, but it may be right. God called him Abraham. But anyway, he said God might give you a ham if you pay your tithe. That's what Mays said. But anyway, his wife bare him no children. So it's a situation where a man and wife can't have no kids. And she had an handmaid, like a maid that worked for her, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Now you remember, Hagar was an Egyptian. Egypt is in Africa, south of where they're from. They're Asiatic from above there. All right? And Sarah said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. God, that means God gives kids. God, kids are a gift from God, and you can't have a kid unless God gives it to you. And sometimes He wants you to have one, and sometimes He don't. And if He don't, He don't. He's got a reason for it. You might not understand that reason, but don't force Him. Look here, what happened when she forced it? I've seen people try to force it before, and it backfires. And verse 2, Sarah said unto Abraham, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Big mistake. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. No marriage license, no, they go to the courthouse, no document, no nothing. That's the way they got married in the Old Testament. They just made a commitment to each other, and they were man and wife when they came together physically. That was an Old Testament marriage. The reason there's no such thing as, like today they say, well, we've been living together for 5 years, so really ain't we married? No, you're not, because we go by the Bible, by the laws of our land. And the laws of our land state you must have a marriage license. There's no common law marriage in the Bible. You go by the law of the state of North Carolina, says you got to have a marriage license and you got to have it legal. So a marriage, I ain't got time to get into this, is threefold. It's spiritual, God joins you together. It's legal, recognized by the state you live in. And it's physical, when the bodies join together. Legal, physical, spiritual. And a divorce cuts all three of them. All three, legal, physical, spiritual. Now, when you're just shacking up and living together, you're breaking the law. You're breaking God's law because you're breaking the law that we have here in North Carolina. But anyway, that's a whole other study. We'll get into another time. Verse 4, and he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. Hagar looks like Hagar. I can't, every time I see that, I think of that Hag and Sammy Hagar, that old rock singer. And she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. There's what they didn't count on. Two women get mad at each other and get jealous. There's what they didn't count on. Trouble's coming, buddy. My daddy said there ain't no house big enough for two women. And that's true. That's true. They'll hate each other for it, especially trying to share the same man. That ain't going to work. That sister wife stuff, that's the biggest bunch of hell you've ever seen in your life. I know they did it in Old Testament, and we'll talk about that at some other time, but you want hell on earth. Hey, boys, one's enough. You sure don't want three or four of them in there fighting. Say amen, boy. Solomon had 700 wives. That means he had two every day, two of them had a birthday. Every day, two of them's birthday. Can you? And he was the wisest man that ever lived. Where does that put the rest of us? Way down, amen. My Lord must have said that before he done that. Lord help. 700 wives and 300 concubines. There's you something to study, them concubines. How come it calls them a concubine if there wasn't no marriage license? They was his wife. Sometimes it calls his concubine his wife. So if you can't shack up and he joined his body them concubines, how come it says them was his wives and 300 concubines? Bring me some answers to these questions. Anyway, she despised Sarah. Look at verse 5. And Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. She said, I done wrong, you gonna pay for it. Ain't that the way it goes? I have given my maid. Told you that Genesis got it, buddy. It's loaded. It's loaded. Every one of these verses is a study on human nature. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Now stop right there in verse 6. We'll come back to that. Sarah dealt hardly with her. You know what that means? She clawed her eyes out, buddy. Can't believe you think he's your husband just because you got. She's mad because that woman could have a baby and she couldn't. And because then it was obvious that the problem with them not having a baby wasn't Abraham, right? I mean, he was able, she wasn't. And boy, she's mad. She's mad at God, mad at Abraham, and she's ready to kill that woman. Oh, you think you're something, you know. You run around here, you little slut, deceive my husband. You know, I'd like to, said she dealt hardly with her. Pow! Choke you to death. It got so bad that Hagar run and fled. Some of y'all got some funny looks on your face. I'm just reading you the Bible. It gets worse than this in some parts, buddy. Look at this. Jerry Springer couldn't hold a light to this thing. He just does it in a dirty context. The Bible does it in a holy context. Look at here at verse number 6. She fled from her face. Verse 7. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water. We'll come back to that in a minute. The angel of the Lord. That's the first time that phrase appears in your Bible. And it goes out hundreds of times more. And the angel is an appearance. Put appearance for that word. An appearance of the Lord. The Lord himself is the angel of the Lord. I'll prove that to you. The Lord himself, the angel of the Lord, found her by a fountain of water. She's a picture of the flesh. She's a picture of a sinner, not saved. Found her by a fountain of water. All kind of preaching in that right there. The water of life springing up in everlasting life. In a fountain of the way to Shur. Verse 8. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. She's going to kill me. She's going to cut me up. They'll call them Lifetime movies. Come after me with a knife because her husband got me pregnant. But it's her idea to start with. Verse 9. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hands. Lord, that ain't going to happen. The Muslims ain't never going to submit to them Jews. They've been fighting 3,000 years. We'll come back to that. Verse 10. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly. Some of you wondered if I was right a minute ago when I said the angel of the Lord was the Lord. Look what he said. I will multiply thy seed. Can a normal angel multiply somebody's seed? No. That's the Lord. The angel of the Lord in the Old Testament many times is an appearance of the Lord himself. Like them three that come to Sodom, one of them was the Lord. And the Lord left, and the other two went down there and got Lot out. Pick that up when you get to 19. All right? The angel of the Lord said, I'll multiply thy seed exceedingly. There's a bunch of them, buddy, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael. That's the first time in the Bible that God named a kid before it was born. Remember that. Because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And then here's the prophecy on him and all his race and or his descendants. Verse 12. And he will be a wild man. Look at it. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Right over there in the middle of it. Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, all this place, right in that area. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Leha Roy. See that word beer? There's where it comes from. It means a well. I guarantee you, any convenience store operator in this town sells beer, don't even know where the word come from or what it means. There in Genesis, right at the beginning of everything. 15, and Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86. How many is that? Somebody tell me. 86. He was 10 years older than Sarah. He was 10 years older than his wife, Sarah, so that makes her 76. Spirit of 76, 76, 13. And when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham. Now, I'm not going to study chapter 17, but go ahead and look at chapter 1. Then when Abram was 90 years old and 9, so if he was 86 when Ishmael was born and he's 99 there, how old does that make Ishmael? 13. When he was circumcised. And God didn't have much to do with Abraham for 13 years. Before that, it was Abraham this and Abraham that. And God sort of backed off of him. Made a mistake. And they've been fighting over it ever since. All right. You'll see, verse 2 of chapter 17, he'll make his covenant between you and multiply his seed exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face. And then he said, verse 5, neither shall thy name be any more Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. All right. Verse number 8. He has a different prophecy for this son than he did Ishmael. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, and all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. That land over there belongs to them. It will always belong to them, and they've been fighting over it ever since. You know that that mosque, that gold top thing you always see when it shows Israel, is a Muslim mosque. And that's where all the preachers preach that third temple and they have to be built on that site, because that was the site of Solomon's temple. And so a lot of Bible preachers preach, well, that thing's got to be destroyed. And it might. I mean, things are heating up over there right now. We've seen it on the news this week. You say, well, the rapture can't come no time soon because that temple's still there. But you're forgetting two things. How fast something like that can happen, a period of months. And you're forgetting something else. There's nothing that says the tribulation starts immediately after the rapture. There could be a time period there. And there's scripture for that. We'll get into it another time. The rapture could happen any second, and there could be a time period before the tribulation begin when God turns the clock back on Israel time. I'm giving y'all a lot to think about and study, but let's go back and go over this chapter. All right. Allah, the God of Islam, means, the word Allah means the God. Sarah, Abraham, the word Hagar means flight. The word, that's what her name meant, flight. So God's been speaking to Abraham. You got to realize that children are a gift from God. Eve, when the first man was born, Eve said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." She knew that God had given her that child. And so all you ladies in here this evening, if you've got a child or men have a child, that child was given to you as a gift from God. They are not the property of the state. They are not the property of the school system, like he mentioned a minute ago. They are yours. They are your children. God expects you to take care of them physically, mentally, and spiritually. We are responsible for the well-being of our child. You want to grow up? You do some growing up, buddy, when you look in the face of a little baby and realize I'm responsible for them eating, sleeping. I could be responsible for them going to hell if I ain't right. Buddy, I'll make you do some growing up really, really quick. And that's what she realized, that she got a man from the Lord. Now, this story is it's a wild story, but it's amazing how up to date the old book is, isn't it? So here's Sarah and Abraham. She's at this time, let's see, how old would she be? 75. She's 75 years old. And by this time, lifespan had already started to shorten. You know, it was 800-900 years. And then immediately after that, the flood and stuff, people started living less time. Well, that's another study we'll get into sometime about the canopy theory and all of that earth, the sun's rays, and it had never rained before, and everything changed after the flood. So men started, stuff started causing people to die at a younger age. But they still, some of them go up 175, 200, stuff like that. Now we're down to 70 or 80. But it used to be even lower than that here. But anyway, she's 75. So that would put Abraham, what? 85. And the Lord had promised them a seed. And they're sitting around one night. She says, "Honey, you know, I'm 75, you're 85. If this is ever going to happen, we better get on the ball." And he said, "Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, what else can we do?" And she said, "Well, maybe something's wrong with me." And she said, "You know what? I'm going to modern it up a little bit so you can understand it. I seen a thing on TV the other day, and this couple got this surrogate mother. And Abraham said, "What's that?" She said, "Well, it's where somebody else comes in and has a baby for people that can't have one, like me and you." Abraham said, "Lord, help. Where'd you? I can tell you've been down in Egypt. And you got that out of Egypt, didn't you?" She said, "Yeah, it's one of their channels, but everything they say ain't wrong. You can't say just because something's from Egypt it's bad, Abraham." You ever heard that attitude before? And he said, "Well, I'll tell you one thing. I ain't never heard nothing like that in my life. A woman coming in and having, I just figured if God wanted us to have one, we'd have one. If he didn't, we wouldn't." And Abraham, the conversation went, "Wouldn't you like to have heard that conversation?" And she said, "Well, honey, I got something I want to talk to you about. What if we got one of them?" He said, "What? Somebody to have us a baby? You're not saying what I'm thinking you're saying, surely." "Who? Maybe." I mean, he was a man, right? She said, "One of them Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders." I don't know what she said. And she said, Hagar. And I have no idea if Hagar was pretty or not, but somehow or another, Abraham agreed to it. That's awful, isn't it? And that's not awful. And yet he was called the friend of God, brother. Man called the friend of God. See, God don't see things the way we see it always, people. You know, the Lord will say, here's Gideon down here hiding, scared to death, and the Lord comes down and says, "Come thou mighty man of valor." You know something? You ever notice how God talks to them men in the Bible, stuff that we would never... We see somebody messing up, we say, "Ah, sorry, good for nothing, hypocrite." God don't see people like we see them. He sees that heart. Ain't you glad? God sees that heart, buddy. He knows if your heart longs for him and you're hungry for him and you love... God knows. Like David, murder, adultery. He's a man after God's own heart. He sure was. He sure was. Well, anyway, conversation went on. And I should have planned this out before I came down here tonight. I could have really made it juicy. But she says, "Honey, I mean, don't you think don't you think that would be a good idea? And he said, well, he said, I'm not but 85 years old, but I know a little bit about human nature, and I've been around some of the women, you think we could all get along with it, really, her being the real mother? And what about when it's 8 or 9 years old and I want to whip it, and you say no? And she said, you ain't it. Oh, no. The movie that I watched, I mean, they all got along fine. They didn't get all along fine, did they? Son, they've been fighting ever since. You can't mix it up like that. You can't go against God's plan. You can't try to help God do his business and hoodoo him and figure out ways and junk God's plan for your life and expect to come out all right. Can't be done. Can't be done. There ain't no shortcuts. Are y'all cold? Okay. I heard that. Let me check this one. I'll give you a little. Take the hunting jacket you got off, Jeremy. We'll make the majority want a little bit of heat. All right. I got on a wool coat tonight, and it's cool up here. When you're fasting, you freeze anyway. But anyway, she says, honey, in the movie, they all got along fine. He had daddy time. He had mommy time. He had whatever she is time. What would she be? I have no idea. And who knows? We could be like them people on Sister Wives, and all of us get along happy. And wouldn't that make you feel like the man? And he said, well, all right. And he hearkened to the voice of his wife. Buddy, that's where he got in trouble. Sometimes that ain't a good idea, y'all. Sometimes it is. What did Adam, when Adam and Eve sinned, what did God say? Because thou hast hearkened to thy wife. You ladies, you can get mad and squirm all you want to, but many times you better shut up on stuff like that when a man's trying to follow God and do right and back him up. I'm telling you, I ain't got nobody necessarily in mind when I say this. But everybody that ever gets mad and leaves the church is 9 times out of 10, it's the woman calling the shots. And the woman would be better off listening to the man. 9 times out of 10. I've been doing this since I was 23 years old in the church of Marion, the same way, and every church I know. Same way. Thou hast hearkened to thy wife. Now, just to be honest, there is sometimes you should listen to your wife. Like over our Nabal. Nabal was a fool. And his wife, what was her name? Abigail, yeah, beautiful woman, and David and her, wound up getting married, and she should have listened to her. He should have listened to her. When you're backslid and you're full of hell and you know it, and your wife's telling you what the book says, you're better off to listen to her. Amen? But if a man's following God and doing right, and you're trying to finagle a way to get your way, you better watch out. Look at the mess that caused. Well, anyway, he went along with it. They're both guilty. And where'd we get to? So this surrogate mother junk didn't work out. They wound up hating each other's guts. And any time you try to force two women together to live together, or men either, but in this case women, they're going to wind up hating each other. Because that was, you know them, what's his name? Who's the, had Jacob, had all the wives and all the sons and everything. And they'd fight over him. He'd be coming in from the field and say, you get out of here. He's coming to my tent tonight. That's some weird stuff over there, ain't it? How many of y'all have ever read that in the Bible? I ain't making that up. I mean, things were different back then. But they wound up hating each other over kids and bearing kids and whose kids got more attention and whose kids got more for Christmas and whose kid. And I hate her guts, and she weighs 2 pounds less than I do. I hate her. That's the way they do it. And human nature's never changed. Is that way in Genesis? Still going on now. Now, things backfired. Things backfired. And she run her off. She run her off. The Bible said in verse number 6, she fled and went out and hid by a fountain. And the angel of the Lord, verse 9, which is the Lord himself, said, come on back now, let's make this thing right. And everything, and I'll multiply your seed exceedingly, that it not be number for multitude. And this is a little bit the hardest part of the chapter for me, because this is God's blessings on Ishmael because he was Abraham's seed. And Ishmael, if you'll notice, takes on both them characteristics of both of them lines of people, Abraham and Hagar. He had a spiritual side of him and a fleshly side. As a matter of fact, in the New Testament, Ishmael is used as a type of the flesh in Galatians. You know where it talks about getting saved? He that was just born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. Ishmael, all the way through the Bible, is a type of the flesh and the work of the flesh and a person, unregenerated person. And Isaac is always a picture of the spiritual man, the ones that say, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called." So God definitely chose out. He discriminated deliberately and chose one race. And I mean, I didn't write the Bible, people. If there is a chosen people on earth, there it's Jews. It ain't us. They were God's chosen earthly people. And still are. There's a movie out they put out now called Marching Design. Some of y'all have seen it. Somebody sent it to me in the mail. And it's a whole thing trying to tell you that all God's promises to Israel are now related to the church. And that, they put that out, and it's just crazy. Somebody they don't understand about it. It's called British Israelism. That means that the church has now replaced Israel. And all those promises God made Israel spiritually apply to us now. Which it will not work, can't work, will not work. There is a sense in which we are spiritual Jews. There is a sense. We'll talk about that sometime. But literal Jews, literal Israel, literal land, all them Old Testament prophecies are talking about literal, visible, physical Israel and literal people. Okay? Verse number 10. I'll multiply seed exceedingly. Verse 11. He said, "Thou art with child, and name Ishmael." Let me see if I wrote that name definition. I did. Ishmael means whom God hears or God will hear. So God heard Hagar's prayer. And he was the first child named before he was born, a picture of the flesh. And it's an Arab, he's Arabian, in what it says in Galatians. Arabs and Jews, Palestine and Israel, Palestine and Jerusalem, fighting over that one little piece of land. I've been telling Kelly that I want a map, and I used to have a good map, and I don't know what I've done with it, but I want one, a big one that I can put on the wall. And you can look at your map in the back of your Bibles, and you see that little spot of Israel, and then it says Gaza. That's the Gaza Strip they talk about all the time. And part of Arabs Muslims inhabit that land right now. But the Jews went back in 1948 and refused to give it up. And that's what they're fighting about on the news tonight. Tonight, that's what they're fighting about. Muhammad popped up. They started that holy war 3,000 years ago. Muhammad popped up in about 600 A.D. He's supposedly the 70th descendant of Ishmael. And that's where all the weird Muhammad Ali, that type of religious, the black Muslim, Malcolm X, all those have characteristics of both races, but get it confused. They have freedom, they ride the desert, they use spears and knives, and they're fierce in battle, and they believe that Palestine is just as much theirs as it was Abraham's direct descendants through Isaac, and there's what the whole world's fighting over. It's funny that all that oil's over there. All that oil. I don't understand a lot of that. But read that book of Revelation where it talks about during the tribulation. He said, "See thou hurt not the wine and the oil." It's weird, isn't it, that oil pops up during that time. That's what they're fighting over, supposedly, right now. But Hagar realizes that God is watching over her, and that that well reminds her that God is real and does see her. So God blessed Hagar. The Bible says it. He had some kind of blessing for Hagar and on Ishmael. And then they wound up fighting. And that's all they've been doing ever since. Okay? I'm going to slow down right there just a little bit. There's been a war going on for 3,000 years. This jihad that you hear so much talk about is holy war. And radical Islam believes that anybody who will not convert should be killed. Have you heard? Anybody who will not convert, that's radical Islam. I didn't say all Muslims believe that. I don't even know any Muslims personally, a few that run the stores and stuff around here. So I'm not in a position to make a statement like that. But I don't know. I don't know, y'all. It's a weird kind of a thing that we're living in. I don't believe all Muslims are bad. I don't. I don't believe all people that believe in Islam is bad people necessarily. I believe everybody needs to get saved. Whether Jew, Gentile, Greek, barbarian, everybody has to get born again to go to heaven. But as far as down here, I can't say that. Okay? All right. Turn that thing off, Andy. We'll talk. We'll take questions.